Now, 2 weeks ago, and for the week before that, we were learning from the prophet Isaiah, the major prophet Isaiah. We spent 2 weeks with him. And what we learned last week or 2 weeks ago is that God is not interested in religion. That is, if it is not associated with or does not produce true ministry. And I mean ministry as in servanthood. If it doesn't cause us to be helpful and loving to others, if we're not making a difference in others' lives, if we're all about religion so we look good, if we're all about religion so that we can call on God's name and claim that he needs to rain down on us whenever we need it, if that's all it's about, he's not impressed. Not at all. Doesn't matter how many people are filling up the pews. He's not interested. He's not impressed. And specifically, where we went with the text was about fasting. And it was an example or a type for all sacrificial religious stuff. Now, you know you feel justified when you're sacrificing and being religious. God ought to be impressed. God ought to give you what you want, right? I've done all of this, God. All this sacrificing, and we specifically talked about fasting because that's what the text pointed out. But whether it's fasting or some other religious sacrificial act, it means nothing if we are not changed in the process. If we are not changed by going closer to the presence of God through our consecration, if we are not changed, you want the situation to change, but we don't want to change. How often do we go into prayer and consecration and sacrificial going closer to God so that we can be changed? It doesn't even matter if you went there because you wanted God to move. If you go deeper and closer into God's presence, you ought to be changed. And so if you happen to do that and you come away just as materialistic, if you come away just as selfish, if you come away just as judgmental, if you come away just as exacting to people, if you come away no different with all of those same characteristics, then you clearly have not been moved by the presence of God, and he will not be moved by you. And if he's not moved by you, he's not going to move on your behalf. You're wondering why some things happen, right? I'm here to share with you just a little bit. And if he's not moved by us, then when you fast, all you get is hungry. That's all you're going to get is hungry. You can look all ugly. You can look all peakety. He is not impressed. And if we wag our finger at him because he hasn't done what we want, we need to recognize why indeed it happens. Amen? Amen. When we fast, we ought to get closer to God. We should come away changed, and not just changed, but changed for the better. We should come away even more merciful, even more giving, even more caring and willing to sacrifice what we have and our comforts and some of our things so that someone else can be better off. We need to come away from the presence of God thinking and feeling and acting and having our priorities more consistent with the God we just spent time with. When we come away with that kind of attitude, then God, we have God's attention. Amen? Amen. And you want to have his attention, don't you? Amen. We don't want to be focused on what we have the right to have, what we have the right to receive. When we spend our time focused on that, we know we have not been in the presence of God, or we certainly have ignored him. How would you like to have that as your testimony? God means business. Today, we're going to learn from another major prophet. We're going to learn from the prophet Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah's time, as he was called as a prophet, he was dealing with people who were disobedient to God, who took God for granted, who took his kindness for weakness. And just like a bad kid, when the parent tells you to do something, you think it's just a suggestion. They took God for granted. They cared more about religion than they cared about ministry and caring about people. more about things than they cared about people, more about what they had the right to have than the good that they had the power and opportunity to do. God instructed them as he does us. He advised them as he does us. He asked them as he does us. He even begged them as he does us. Warned them as he does us. And yet back then, just as now, they did not believe, nor do we, that fat meat is greasy. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe fat meat was greasy, is it? The cooks in the house, is fat meat greasy? They didn't believe that their actions had consequences. Just because you've been getting away with something for a while doesn't mean you're going to keep getting away with it. We take God's words as suggestions. We take God's words as optional. We take his commands as optional. How many of us can say that we have done that? Well, it comes to a point to where it's clear you're not going to do it his way. It comes to a point where it's clear you're not going to give yourself away. It comes to a point to where it's clear you think you're smarter than him. There comes to a point where it's clear he's not going to get through to you. It comes to a point where it's clear. And then some things have to happen. But we wonder. We don't make the proper connections. Why do some things happen? Some things happen because it's clear that plan A was not going to go down. That God's original plan that he begs you to enact, that the things that he just begs you to do, warns you that problems are going to come. But, you know, we just figure we're the king's kid and he's not going to do anything to us. Amen? Amen. God is a parent that didn't come in the 21st century. He can chastise his children because he loves them. Amen. There's some books that you read right now that'll tell you if you love your child, you'll just treat them like they're perfect. You'll never tell them that they've done anything wrong. You'll never give them any consequences to their actions, which makes them think that they're the parent and you're the child. And that's how we treat God oftentimes. Take his words as suggestions. I'm going to say that again. Take his commands and his directions as optional. We have all done it. Either we won't do what he says or we drag our feet. Get all puffed up and proud. Well, today we're going to learn that sometimes God cannot and will not work with what we're willing to give him, what we're willing to offer him. Because we're willing to offer it, sometimes we feel okay about that. But if it's not what he's asking for, sometimes he's going to say, I'm not willing to work with that. I'm not going to work with what you're willing to offer me. I deserve better. I plan for better. When I thought about you, I had better in mind. Now, just because I gave you free will agency doesn't mean you should use it for you to become the God and for me to become the creation. He will not work sometimes with what we are willing to offer him. And when that time comes, he has to break us down before he can build us up. He has to break us down with plans, mind you, to build you up. Don't you dare go there and curse God. He breaks us down not because he takes joy in it. He breaks us down to build us up, and he'd build on the original foundation if it was his foundation. He'd build on the original plan if it was his plan. But no, as long as we insist on our plan, at some point, he's going to break you down before he can build you up. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's out of love that he does so. So let's go to the word. Amen? Amen. First of all, I want you to tell your neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. Sometimes God has to break you down before he can build you up. Neighbor. Sometimes God has to break you down before he can build you up. Neighbor. Sometimes God has to break you down so that he can build you up. Amen. 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 Jeremiah's calling to his ministry is what involves our text today. So we've covered this before, but not like this. Amen. And the text can be found in the book of Jeremiah. Let's go there together. Chapter 1. And we're going to be dealing with verses 4 through 10. And the final coup de grace is in verse 10. But he's being called to not only prophetic ministry. You don't know Jeremiah like this probably. But if you pay close attention, you'll see. We think of Jeremiah. As a matter of fact, Pastor Trina and I were on our way here this morning, and we listened to a certain ministry on the radio when we were coming here. And the preacher was talking about various folks that couldn't see things for various reasons, like Samson couldn't see what God wanted him to do for Delilah. David couldn't see because he was changed because of Bathsheba. Went on and on and on. And we're going to see today what we can't see because of various things. Amen? Amen? We're going to see that Jeremiah wasn't just called to ministry. He was called to a certain office. And we're going to see exactly how God dealt with him. Amen? Amen. So let's go to verse 4. And I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. And it says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, this is Jeremiah saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God knows every hair on your head, you know that. But did you know he knew you before you were knowable? Did you know that he had a plan for you? Ordained, meaning appointed. He appointed you to a post that you're supposed to be on. He appointed you with a plan that you're supposed to be on point with. And yet we think that his plan for us is just a suggestion. We think it's just a thought. It's just a recommendation, just a good idea. He is saying here that he knew you before you were knowable. He had a plan before anybody could plan. But I want us to go back and I want us to read this same text differently. I want to read that same verse with a different emphasis, and you'll get a point that God wants you to have today. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I'm going to emphasize the eyes. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. We're talking about the creator of the universe. Before I formed, how'd you get formed? See, we emphasize that he knew us. That's great. That's miraculous. That's amazing. I formed you in the belly. You think you own you? I formed you in the belly. You think it was just biology? I formed you in the belly. I knew you. And before thou camest forth of the womb, who? I sanctified thee. You think you can hang out where you want to hang out? I plucked you out. I made you special. I designed you for a certain thing and expected to get that. I, the creator of the universe, didn't just create the universe. I created you. How can you, as the creation, curse or resist the creator? How do we do that? Well, it happened in the garden. But do you want to hold on to the garden or do you want to hold on to heaven? If you hold on to heaven, then you hold on to the God of heaven. If you hold on to the God of heaven, then you hold on to his plan. He said, I sanctified thee. I plucked you up and said, you're special. I plucked you up and said, I will trust you. I plucked you up and said, I will need you to do my work. I plucked you up and said, I'm going to make a part of my plan dependent upon you. That's what I did before you ever came here. He says, I ordained, meaning appointed, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So who ordained him? God did. Who ordained you? Who had a plan for you before you came here? God did. But here is the problem. Verse 6. Ah, said who? I. It's not the same I, is it? Is it? Now it's you. Mm-hmm. Now God has spoken. He knew you before you were knowable. He had a plan before anybody could plan anything for you, right? And he created you. And he had a plan for you. But then here is the problem. Ah, said I. Ah, Lord God, behold what? I, now this is us now, I cannot speak. Now I'm going to go back. He says, God says, I knew you before you came forth out of the womb, and I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And he has the nerve, and we have the nerve, to say, oh, but I, he gives us the opportunity to say I. You actually get to decide whether you're going to obey or not. You get to decide whether or not you're going to do his plan or not. You get to decide whether you're going to be where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, with whom you're supposed to do it, and the way you're supposed to do it. You get to make all those decisions. You get to introduce your little eyes. He says, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now you look at verses 5 and verses 6 and you see Jeremiah's eyes competing with God's eyes, literally contradicting God's eyes. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Is your life a manifestation of God's eyes, or is it an outcropping of yours? If we stopped and looked at your life right now, is it a manifestation of God's eyes? Or is it a manifestation of our eyes? When we get down on our knees and we consecrate ourselves or we pray, is the emphasis of our prayers God's eyes or is it our eyes? So we see the dueling eyes. Amen? Amen? We rightly marvel at the fact that God knows us before we're knowable. But today I want you to notice the eyes of the Creator competing here, as if there's a competition, as if there's any comparison. We forget how easily we forget who created us and who's the created, and we forget way too easily and take God for granted. Amen? Amen, 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 amen. We dare to put our eyes up against God's, and you know we do it. We do it all the time. But God means business is the point I'm trying to make to you today, and we read on. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Does that sound like a suggestion or a recommendation? I'm telling you, God means business. We really treat our God, I'm telling you this, like a little g God. Because he does not strike us down the first time we do something. He does not strike us down the second time. He does not strike us down when we mock him with our lives. And so therefore we take it for granted thinking it's never going to happen. But there comes a time when you got to be broken down before you could be built back up. Amen. Are you with me? Does it sound like a suggestion to you? I'm just asking. God means business, but we often think that what he says and what he wants is optional. And so he's got something he wants done, and he's got to sit there waiting for us. There comes a time when he's got to break you down before he can build you up. Amen? Amen. Verse 8 now. Be not afraid of their faces. Now he's telling you, here's what's going to go down. You're going to do what I told you to do. You're going to go where I tell you to go. And there's going to be some heavy hitter people that are going to be very intimidating. And at least they believe they will be. But I'm telling you, young man, be not afraid of their faces. For I am with thee to deliver thee, says who? Who is the, who are we talking about? God? Talking about Yahweh? We're talking about the one who spoke the entire universe into existence? We can believe that he can speak the universe into existence, but we can't live our lives like he spoke you into existence. It's just too easy. It's too easy to watch the Science Channel and see how he created the universe. And you can say, yeah, I stand with, as a creationist. I'm not an evolutionist. And we can feel good about that. And yet, while we do that, we willfully refuse to do what God tells us to do, as if he didn't create you. Oh, he can create the whole universe. It could be expanding, and we can learn all that wonderful stuff. We can go to Saturn and see the rings and all this fancy stuff. We can figure out whether it could be life on another planet. And did he create you? We're still looking to see if there's life somewhere else. And we aren't attending enough to the single life that he gave you the breath to breathe for. You just got one of them, by the way, while you're here at least. And then you're going to live on, by the way. You're not going to be dead. We're just going to figure out how that life is going to happen. Is it going to be joyous with the Lord or something else? And so God means business. Are we getting that message? He says, be not afraid. If you're ready and willing and able to step up and do what God has told you to do and accept what he has said is not a suggestion, but something that is supposed to take you into the destiny of your life, then God will have your back. Either we don't believe he'll have our back, or we don't think much of him that has our back. Which one is it? If we won't go ahead and do what God, now this was hard for Jeremiah. So what he's going to ask you to do will be hard. But do you believe in the one that has your back? Or do you believe that he will have your back? One of the two has to be not true when we fail to do what God wants us to do. Either that or we are the God and he is the creation. There's not many options. There's not many options. Either we don't believe that he is the big God that created this universe and is also your God and he has your back, or you don't think much of the one who has your back. And so we won't do what he wants us to do. We won't handle our life the way we're supposed to handle our life. We won't step forward when we're supposed to step forward. We won't do what God wants us to do. There comes a time after a while when that belt comes out. He has to break us down before he can build us back up. Maybe it's not a belt. Maybe it's just a stern talking to whatever it is that hurts. Amen? Amen? It gets worse before it gets better. Once God has decided you ain't, you just are not going to do. You are just, you are not going to do it. Okay, so when some of these things happen, understand God's got to break us down before he builds us up. Are you with me? Are you learning anything? Amen. We're learning from the calling of Jeremiah, and yet what we're learning is that God means business, and he is God. And if you do what he tells you to do, he's got your back. Never fear to do God's will, and it will be hard. And if it ain't hard, then you don't need God. And if you don't need God, you end up in you. If you end up in you, you will go wayward, but you won't know how you got there. You won't know because you didn't notice you were missing anything because you thought you could do it. And you wake up one day and realize that you went off course. Didn't have to be that way. We should go to God. We should get close to God, and we should come away changed. We should come away more like him, with his priorities, with his preferences. Are you with me? Amen. So where God guides, God indeed will always provide. We catastrophize, worrying about what might happen, what could happen, while he's giving you everything you need for where you are. Satan does the same thing to us that he did to Eve in the garden. Suggests that you don't have what you already actually have. Same old game. We got all this Bible falling for the same old okie doke because we have the same problem. Wanting to be the masters of our own destiny. It isn't good enough to have somebody else tell you what to do. I'm getting real close to home. How many of you are good with having somebody else tell you what to do? How many of us are good with somebody else telling you what to do? How many of us have a problem with authority? How many of us think of God so little that we have a nerve to judge who he speaks to us through? Oh, if it was God, I have no problem God telling me what to do. I just don't want you telling me. Let me just tell you, if you can muster up the pride to tell God how to speak to you, is no different from stepping to God. He means business. But we want to control our own destiny, don't we? Amen. So where he guides, he will indeed provide. I hope that you believe that. And we learned a couple weeks ago that he will be our re-re word. Remember that from the King James? Meaning your rear guard. Meaning that as you go forward, he's got your back. He's going to make sure that no man is left behind. And anybody trying to chase you and mess with you, all you're supposed to do is focus on what he told you to do. You don't have to worry about the enemy. You don't have to worry about all the folks, the haters. You don't have to worry about your situation chasing you down. He's got that. He pulled you out of that. He's got your back. Your job is to look forward toward where he aimed you. He says, I will have your back. When they went over that Red Sea and that army was coming, they didn't have to worry. He had their backs. And he will have your back. If you choose his plan. And if you don't. And if you just insist. And if you can't take the warnings. If you can't take the suggestions. If you can't take the asking. And if he's got to beg and beg and beg. Eventually. For your own good, he will break you down before he can build you up. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words into thy mouth. Please remember and realize that we are the tools. He is the master craftsman. I don't care how talented we are. Remember, who created us? Same God that created the universe. He is the master craftsman. You are the tool. The craftsman decides what the tool is going to do. Am I right? The tool doesn't get up and do its own thing, does it? Who's the tool? Who's the master craftsman? Who decides what's going to happen? Amen. We are the cups. God fills us with what he chooses to fill us with. You're just a cup. You should be happy being a cup. He fills you up with what he chooses. Some of us don't like what God has filled us up with. We want a different gift. And he chooses how and when and upon whom to pour ourselves out of. But we can judge. I don't want to do it here. I don't want to do it that way. I want a different ministry. I want a different timing. I'm not ready for that. I haven't lived yet. I haven't enjoyed myself yet. He chooses. We should be happy being the vessels of the King and Creator of the universe. But sometimes we hold out. Sometimes we're obstinate, sometimes we're stubborn, sometimes we're willful because we think we know better. We deserve different. We deserve better. How could you deserve better? How could we deserve better than what he's asking us to do? Will it be hard? Yes. Did Jeremiah deserve better? Did he deserve to be put forth in front of these big, powerful people as a child and have God tell him, you speak to them? Excuse me? Why are you going to put me in harm's way like that? Why don't you get somebody older that they respect, that they probably already will listen to? Doesn't that make more sense? Why don't you have somebody speak to them that already has influence and credibility, God? What's wrong with you? It makes no sense. It's not logical. No, I cannot speak. I'm a child. Now, if you want to continue looking at yourself as less than, if you want to continue looking at your flaws and things you can't do because the circumstances don't look like it, you need to get over that, because he's going to break you down so then he can build you up to what you're really supposed to be. It's better the first time around. It's better the first time around. Plan A is better. Yes. Yes. But he will break you down if he has to. And it's painful being broken down. It's hurtful being broken down. It's difficult being broken down. Well, let me just tell you, when he breaks you down, it's because he loves you. But that won't make it easy. He's not going to let, he means you good, so he's got to make it hard. You can't be humbled if he don't make it hard. You can't be humbled if he comes in and rescues you. You can't learn the lesson if he makes it easy. You can't learn the lesson if he's, you know, babying you. So, yeah, sometimes it'll feel like he's not there. Mm-hmm. All he has to do, we talked about this a couple weeks, all he got to do is take his little pinky off, and you'll see what your life can come to. All he's got to do is lower that hedge just that much, and you'll say, oh, my God, you were there all along when I was not giving you credit for being there. Woo! All of a sudden, I'm so grateful. So he touched his mouth, and he said, I put my words into thy mouth. So who's doing the speaking? Jeremiah. But whose words? Who's the instrument? Jeremiah. Who's the messenger? Jeremiah. But who's backing him? God. So God is the one that we should be giving ourselves away to. Are you with me? And I'm almost ready to close. Isn't that great? Let's go to verse 10. Last but not least, he says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. We went from, I knew you before there was a before, and I had plans for you, and I ordained you, and then, no, I can't do that because, and now he said, no, it will go down this way. You will do what I said, and I will have your back. My words will be in your mouth. You're the one they're going to hear. And they're going to have to deal with clay speaking to them. And they're going to have to take it like your God. Here is why. He said, I've placed you over kingdoms and nations. Understand here, if you really break this down, he's not just giving him a spiritual position, a religious position. It's not just a religious post or assignment. He's literally giving him authority in the spiritual realm. He's literally giving him authority over the nations, that means the peoples, and the kingdoms, which means the governments. He's literally speaking for God. Do you understand how powerful that is? Jeremiah wasn't just no crying prophet. Don't you ever feel sorry for Jeremiah was given, when his mouth opened, he was speaking God's prophetic utterances, and it had authority over all situations where it landed. This is what Jeremiah was. Yeah, he cried. You know why? Because he knew that God's words were going to come true. He knew that God had begged. He knew that that his people had been obstinate and disobedient. He knew that God meant what he said. He could see what the people were going to go through. He could see the evidence of them being broken all the way down. He could see that. That'll make you cry. If you could see it, you would cry. But we don't cry. Why? Because we still think we got this. Until we don't. He put him in an elevated position. Not just a religious post, a spiritual authority over all that he would have him speak to. He said he put his words into his mouth. It's not just Jeremiah saying some nice stuff because he was some learned man. This is God's words. Now, let's see how this verse goes forth. See, I have this day set thee, put thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. But then what's the next word? To, meaning in order to. In other words, this is the purpose for which I set you over the peoples and the nations. Check this assignment out. I have set you over the kingdoms and nations to do what? To root out, to pull down, and to what? Woo! And when you're being broken down, you feel like you're being destroyed. It can feel like that. And to throw down. But then what? To build and to plant. God, when he breaks you down because you won't do things his way, it's so that he can build you up. Now, here they're talking about Israel. And Israel would not do what they're supposed to do. They did not keep the Sabbaths for the land. They would plant and they would work and they didn't rest the land like their land was supposed to be rested. They served God, but they also served Baal and all these other gods. And they could not commit to the one God that created them. And so you know what? This place is going to be desolate. I'm going to make sure the land rests. And so they got carried off by Nebuchadnezzar and his guys. And then somebody else took over and they still stayed under the Medo-Persians. And it wasn't until Mordecai and little Queen Esther lifted their little heads up. And Nehemiah and all them folks that said, oh, please, please, we want to go home, God, please, please. And they came that close to being exterminated, did they not? That close. Now, you already put away somewhere. You already in captivity. You already persona non grata. You already nobody in the land. You already beaten down. And now they're about to exterminate you. Just eliminate you, all Jews. That's just how bad it can get. It can make you humble. It can make you say, all right, Lord, okay, your plan, not mine. He's got to break you down. When we talked about, when we read about Nehemiah and Ezra and all those guys building everything back up and building the temple. By the way, you know we've preached this. When they were building it, they slipped up as soon as they got started. They built their own houses and left God's half done. They started building their own palaces and left God's half done. I'm telling you, it's a constant job. This is a constant work to keep yourself in check constantly. Because as soon as he gives you an opening, you know what we do. That's why when you consecrate and you constantly pray, you got to be getting closer to God and being changed by God. If all we're doing is asking for stuff, the stuff we get often ruins us. That's why you can't be believing these scriptures. It's the way people take the word, all you got to do is name it and he'll do it. That's just, we're so fallible. We would mess it up if he did everything we wanted. All right, I guess I've preached that one before. So this prophet, his job was to root out, to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, and to build and to plant. Amen? This is what he was called to do with his words. And his words were going to declare what would happen with the people. And the things that were going to happen to them were going to be in the process of pulling down and rooting out and destroying and throwing down, and then, of course, then to build and to plant. So let's talk about, the last thing I'll cover is this building and planting. God chooses many times to use building or architecture type examples or imagery as well as agriculture, and that's the same thing he did here. And so in the end, we're going to understand how God breaks us down so he can build us up. We're going to understand what he was putting into the mouth of Jeremiah and why he had to cry so much. When we talk about a building, God starts when he's trying to change us. He's trying to change us from the inside. He's trying to do a little remodeling job. He says, I want you to change this. I want you to stop doing that. I want you to begin doing this. I want you to change on the inside. I want you to treat people better. I want you to think about situations better. I want you to understand your cup is full and running over. It's not even just half full. And stop that talk as if it's half empty. I want you to change. I want you to care more about people than things. I want you to care more about what I want than what you want. I want you to subject your flesh and not live by it. I want you to start asking for different things in your prayers. This is what I want from you because I've got a job to do through you. I need you to be a beacon on the hill for the entire world. This is what I need from you. And so he tries to do these remodeling projects and we reject him. Maybe we get started, but then we have a bunch of remodeling projects all over the house, none finished, and it's a mess. Our lives can sometimes be a mess. Because we won't accept his plans. And so he will tear down that building. He will pull it down. He will tear it down. And he's not going to use the same scraps of wood to build a new house. He's not just going to throw it down and tear it down. He's going to destroy it. He's going to separate you from your source. He's going to move you away from those associations. He's going to cut you off from that thing you were holding on to that allowed you to reject his plan. It allowed you to think you could do it your way. Allowed you to think that you were sustaining you. Allowed you to think that Rockefeller was sustaining you. Allowed you to think that the company was sustaining you. Allowed you to think that your intellect was sustaining you. Allowed you to think your education was sustaining you. He will cut you off from those things. And he will pull you out so that he can rebuild you. Amen? Amen? The right way, with the right attitude and priorities, called now according to his purpose. Because all things, what? Do work together for good to those who, what? Love the Lord and that are the called according to what? Whose? So all things work. Oh, it's all good. He's got your back. You don't have a thing to worry about if you are the called according to whose purpose? But we want all the goodies, but we don't want to give ourselves away. He used an agricultural example to bring it on home. He described him planting, not just building, but also planting. Well, what's wrong with the original plant? Our lives represent a plant. We're already here. Why you need to plant? Well, because I'm going to root you up. And rooting up means not just digging around. It doesn't mean, it means ripping it out from the roots. Now, before he tries to do that, just like the remodeling job, oh, he tries to prune us. He tries to snip here and snip here, ouch, snip here, ouch, snip here. It's for your own good. I'm trying to get you to grow a certain way. But we don't want to do that. He trains us like a vine. You want the vine to go a certain way, but you don't want to go along with that plan. You want to go your own direction. So he prunes us, trying to get us to grow the way he wants us to grow. Maybe he wants us to be high and narrow. Maybe he wants us to be wide and bushy, but we want to be narrow when he wants us to be bushy, and we want to be bushy when he wants us to be narrow. And so when all of that pruning and all of that training does not work, he will pluck you up from the roots. Will you ever pluck your eyebrows? You don't just snip it off on the surface. You pluck it completely out. And we're not talking about taking it, the roots out and then creating a root ball. This is not transplantation. He ain't trying to take your mess and put it over there. He's saying, done. That project, done. I've got to allow the roots of the messy tree to die. Die. You can burn a forest, some trees will still live. We ain't talking about burning. That's not enough. It looks destructive, but sin can still come up out of that. You're talking about that tree is not going to live if you remove the roots from their source of sustenance. So he will cut you off. He will destroy that thing that allowed you to rebel. He will pluck you up from the roots. Amen?
Amen.
So there's no way that those old ways can grow and flourish anymore. He's going to break you down so that he can build you up. So that we, just like the Israelites, can finally say, not our will, Lord, not my little I, but your will be done. I'm not going to compete with your eyes. I'm going to get in line with your eyes. I'm not going to emphasize my eyes or compete with your eyes with mine. And so when you do that and accept God's will and truly give yourself away, God, after he's broken you down, he will then build you up. Amen?
Amen.
And if he does this, it's because he hasn't given up on you. Remember that. Remember, don't let the devil get you to get mad at God because he breaks you down, because things are not going your way anymore, okay? That thing that you took for granted, it's gone now. He meant business, and now you know it. Just understand, it's because he hasn't given up on you. If he leaves you to your own devices and things look good, that's not a good road. So it proves that he hasn't given up on you, so please don't you give up on him or his plan for your life. It's not great to have plan B, but it's better than any other plan that you could get on your own. So what we want to learn from Jeremiah today is that God means business. He means business in our lives. He created you for a reason. He created you for a purpose. But we get off on our own thing, and we get all our justifications for why we're doing it and all this sort of stuff, and yet God, you know he's calling you. You know that he's preaching messages that are for you, but of course they're for somebody else, because you feel good about what you're doing. But when it's not what God wants you to do, he will eventually go ahead and decide to break us down, but all because he loves us, so he can ultimately build us up.